Can we finish the double verses, right? Can we finish?
We talked after
Neshama Yisrael. Good. Okay, Neshama Yisrael left. Okay, good. Okay. Okay, let's see if we can talk about another mitzvah of the mitzvah of Shabbos. So we'll go back. Last week we spoke about the end of Shabbos, then we'll go back to the beginning of Shabbos. Let's talk a little bit about the mitzvah of Halachas Neiros. So the mitzvah of Halachas Neiros is a multifaceted mitzvah. We find there are actually three different reasons that converge together to be mechayev us at Halachas Neiros. So the Gemara in Masechus Shabbos in the second parak focuses primarily on the notion of Shalom Bayis. Very, very practical Shalom Bayis, that if it's dark, you're going to bump into something. When you bump into something, you're going to scream. And the person you're screaming is probably going to be your wife. And she's going to scream back at you. And that's not going to enhance your Shalom Bayis. So therefore, the Gemara says, Chazal instituted Mishum Shalom Bayis, the mitzvah of Halachas Neiros Shabbos. For this reason, that the Gemara says that Halachas Neiros Shabbos are so important, that they're more important than Kiddush, and they're more important than Halachas Neiros Chanukah. And if you don't have enough money to buy all the above, so Neiros Shabbos always comes first. Mishum Shalom Bayis. In addition to the notion of Shalom Bayis, so there are also two other kiyumim involved in Halachas Neiros. It's based on the Lashon of Rambam. The Rambam in the end of Halachas Shabbos speaks about the mitzvahs of Kavod and Oneg. The psukim of Kavod and Oneg are not found in the Chumash itself. The Rambam writes that Dalad Dvar Nemu B'Shabbos. The Zocha B'Shama Kavod and Oneg. Two of them are explicit in the Chumash, and two of them in the Parshu Derech HaNeviim. So the mitzvah of Kavod and Oneg would appear from the Rambam, as the Vilna Gaon explains it, that Kavod refers to things that you do before Shabbos in preparation of Shabbos. Oneg is the enjoyment on Shabbos itself. So the Rambam quotes the dinim of Halachas Neiros both as part of Kavod as well as part of Oneg, which led the Brisker Rav to conclude that they're both true. That Halachas Neiros is a kiyum of Kavod, because Amaisi do the actual Hadlok on Erev Shabbos, so that shows that you're getting the house ready for Shabbos, part of the Shabbos preparations. And then you get such a geshmak, you sit down, you eat your Suda, and the light, and it's beautiful, the radiance, and Shabbos, spiritual glow of the light. So that's an Oneg Shabbos that enhances your enjoyment of Shabbos. So Neiros Shabbos really has a lot of different components, a lot of different kiyum to it. Shalom Bayis, the Kavod designing, etc. Within the mitzvah of Halachas Neiros, not only do we find that there are multiple lamdisha, reasons for it, but there are actually multiple kiyumim per se as well, multiple chiyuvim as well. So the poskim developed the idea that on the one hand, there's a mitzvah sablocha, there's what we call almost like a chavis haguf, that everybody has to participate in a formal mitzvah sablocha. And then in addition to mitzvah sablocha, you also have to tachlis have light. There's a mitzvah, I don't know, called mitzvah ha-gavra, or the chepta, whatever you want to call it. There's a chayvus ha-gavra to be mishtatev in a mitzvah sablocha. And then in addition to that, even if you personally were mishtatev in a chayvus sablocha, but lemais, it's dark where you are, so you're losing that whole dimension of Neiros Shabbos as well. So what do these two chiyuvim mean? So the first chiyuv, that you have to participate in a hadlocha, so it doesn't mean that you personally have to do the hadlocha. The hadlocha can be done by your wife as well. Actually, the Gemara says in the second parak of Shabbos, and under normal circumstances, it's the women who do the hadlocha. Why were women zoichet to this mitzvah? So basically, for the simple reason, is that tzorchei bayis will talk about that. Maybe some other esoteric reasons as well. But for the simple reason is that tzorchei bayis, that the Chazal instituted primarily that this mitzvah is done by the woman. It doesn't mean that the man is not chayav. It just means that the wife is usually doing it on behalf of the husband, on behalf of the entire family. Where do we find such an idea that there's a chayva, the light, and I don't have to do it myself? So the post can compare this to Neiros Chanukah. It's not a great surprise that the sugyas in Neiros Shabbos and Neiros Chanukah are the same parak, remember, the entire parak of Shabbos. And in this dimension, they're actually similar to one another, that there's a chayva that will tell us to be mishtatef in a hadlocha, but one need not be the one who actually lights the candle per se. Who is mishtatef in this ma'is hadlocha? Say a woman does the ma'is hadlocha, who's mishtatef in it? The same way we find that when it comes to Neiros Chanukah, Neiros Chanukah Nerishu Beisai, so Neiros Shabbos is also a certain sense Nerishu Beisai, that everybody is part of the hadlocha of the woman, all the people of the Bnei Habayis. Who constitutes the Bnei Habayis? So the husband is the Bnei Habayis, and the children who are part of the household of the Bnei Habayis as well. Which children constitute part of the Bnei Habayis? So So here the Poskim drew a distinction between children who are smuchen al shulchan aviyam and children who are not smuchen al shulchan aviyam. This distinction is true both for Neri Shabbos as well as for Neri Chanukah. So this chayvus hadlok that everybody has to participate in, I can be yotze if my wife likes, I can be yotze if my mother likes, provided I'm still part of my mother's family. So what constitutes being part of your mother's family? Smuchen. You're being supported. You're being supported by your parents. Now, we generally assumed that once a person gets married, so they're not considered to be halakhically part of the parents' household anymore, provided they're living somewhere else. If their mom is living in the parents' house, like in Europe, they're literally living there, so then they're the little girl from strangers. If I have someone who lives in my house, even if it's not relative of mine, altogether, they're also considered to be my bias, both the Neri Shabbos and the Neri Chanukah. But if the married children are not living in the house, they're just simply being financially supported by the parents. Sometimes they're being more supported after marriage than before marriage. So if he did, that's still not, most probably not considered to be smuchen or shulchan aviyim. They're still considered to be to some degree independent. So a person halachically becomes independent either when they become financially independent or when they get married, that's also considered to be halachically independent. But until that point, the parasha dvarim is that they can be yaitzei, the chavis hadlocha, with the hadlocha of the parents. Does anybody else potentially become subsumed under the category of b'nei habayis? So we usually assume that for Neris Chanukah purposes, just to pop in for a night of Chanukah doesn't make you part of the b'nei habayis. What it does do is it makes you into an achsenoy. The Gemara says Masechah Shabbos. When it comes to Neris Chanukah, when the halachas are very, very similar, that if a person is visiting, Reuven's visiting Shimon's house, so Reuven can only be yaitze with Shimon's halacha if he's mishtate b'pruta. You have to participate a little bit. You have to give a coin. You have to give a pruta to be mishtate to buy a chelik of the oil. So that halacha l'chayu should be true for Neri Shabbos as well. That I can be mishtate b'pruta and become a buy-in to the halacha. So here many places can say that when it comes to Neri Shabbos, you may not even have to buy into the halacha. It could be that Neri Chanukah, if I just say, just pop in for a meal or something for one night of Chanukah, So I'm not an achsenoy, I'm not the bnei habayis, I'm not mishnah. I can't light it, I can't mishnah. It's almost zero. But when it comes to Shabbos, it could be that everything is nikvah basa where my Shabbos suit is going to be. This could be because one of the major components of Neir Shabbos is to enhance the suit. We said it's an oinek, according to many, the ikar oinek is mamachom ma'achila. So the Shabbos Shabbos Kachos, the quote basa will say that if you're a guest in somebody's house for Shabbos, even if you're not even there for the entire Shabbos, you're only there perhaps only for the Friday night Suda, so maybe you're also considered to be Nichla, your boss of them, and you'll be Yotzi Yechavis Adlocha. So this is good for Yeshiva Bacham. So Yeshiva Bacham usually is covered by multiple places in terms of his Adlocha. So either he's covered by his mother's Adlocha, because he's still B'nai Abayis, his parents are still paying the bills, or even, let's say, his parents aren't from, so if he's eating Friday night by one of the families or something, so it could be that he's Nichla and their Adlocha. Or it could be Nichol and Yeshiva's Adlocha. Let's say we have setups where you have all the Bacham meeting together in the dining room. So then, I don't know if anyone have eaten in the dining room recently. They still have meals? They still have Shabbos meals there? Somebody light candles there? Nobody lights. Nobody. There's no Adlocha in the dining room. Not in the kitchen, no.
In the kitchen.
You used to sometimes light, like where the Mashkiach would sit in the back of the kitchen. Sometimes he would light. Problems, no one else sees that. No one else sees those candles. I don't know. Not sure, like in camp. So in camps we do that. In camp, usually the love of the women usually light candles there. So that's all considered to be the camp setting in Mamashab and Abbas for the summer. So the bottom line is, if your mother's lighting candles for you, if your mother's religious, she's lighting candles for you, so you're probably yet to have Lacha Nika Chavis and Guf as well. The problem is not a problem, just the chidduch is that that's probably not enough. It's not enough just to have a Chavis and Lacha being done for you. You have to have a light where you are. So let's say you have a boy who's in the dorm and his mother's lying for him at home. He comes back to his dorm room at night, it's pitch black, and he trips on his bed and starts screaming at his roommate. So that's going to defeat the purpose. The secondary part of the kiyum is to have the shalom bayis, is to have the light where you are. So the Shulchan Aruch writes, you have to make sure that there's light in the room where you are. So here one could argue that light, that secondary chiyuv of making sure there's light there, that's not really a chayva and a gavra. That's just the mitzias of dvar mitzvah. There has to be light there. That's what many places can say. Let's say you have a dormitory set up, so there is light. There's light outside, there's light in the hallway, there's light, you open the door and you'll have a little bit of light. So one could argue that as long as a person is being yaitzeh with somebody's chavis halacha, namely their mother's chavis halacha, or they ate the meals in the dining room, they lit the halachas there, or they ate in someone's house and they yaitzeh with their halacha, and now all they're worried about is the fact there has to be light in the room. So maybe one could argue that light in the room doesn't have to be done by me. As long as there's light provided somewhere in the room, there is some light coming in from the outside, that would be good enough for that secondary chiyuv as well. So probably the best situation, all these kinds of funny, halachas neir Shabbos shaylas, is usually to rely on the following. There is a big machlokes. Can you rely on electric lights for the purposes of halachas neir Shabbos? We know that both for neir Shabbos and for neir Chanukah, there's a shayla in the poskim, and they're really not the same, necessarily the same shayla. When it comes to neir Chanukah, it could be there was a special takana that has to be neir, or neir psila shemen, has to be dumi de benayra, according to some poskim. If you simply pass it, halacha is a mitzvah. When it comes to Neir Chanukah, there's a shear bedav, it has to last a shiach l'regel mashuk, and you have to put enough oil in at the time. You can't just add on oil later. So some poskim were worried when you light plug in menorah, so then the oil, the source of the power is not really there. The power is coming in, constantly coming in from wherever the power is coming from. So maybe that's not called halacha for the purpose of halacha seven menorah. But for halacha Neir Shabbos, the whole goal is just simply to make sure that you have light there, so maybe that should be good enough. So many places can help you while you're with halachas neir Shabbos, even with electric lights. Then there was a further machlokes about what if, is that good enough only if it's incandescent bulbs, what if it's even fluorescent bulbs, what if it's even LED lights that are bechlal, there's no shalheves, there's no filament that's burning. So someone make on that also. I felt that the whole goal of neir Shabbos is just simply to provide lights. I have lights, so there's just light there. So I usually tell people if whenever they have any kinds of these fakes, halachas neiris, they're probably yaitzi with their parents on locha, and there could be all the yaitzi, the shivas on locha, maybe there's lighting coming in. Just turn on a light or something. Turn on a bathroom light in the apartment that you're in, or turn on a light over the sink of the dorm or something, put a stick of a night light or something. So put in something, and you don't have to make a bracha on it, because you probably yaitzi all your chiyuv even without it. But the yes, you put in a little bit of electric light, then mikra, then that would be okay. So the electric lights are always good things to be aware of, because there is a question that many posts can raise about lighting candles in general, b'zman hazeh. What right do we have to light candles? That's a little bit of a joke. We have a chandelier on, we have 100 electric lights on in the dining room. So what do you gain with a little bit of a candle? So there was a big machlekes in the poskim between Mechama and Ramam about what if you have a situation where you have a lot of people eating together, say in camp setting. You have a lot of people eating together, so one person goes and lights the candles, and then another woman comes, and 500 women are lighting their candles one on top of another. So what is that accomplishing exactly? So the Shulchan Aruch says nothing. Shulchan Aruch says, but after the first couple of candles, the 50th candle is not doing anything. So that would be a problem. It wouldn't really be, I'd say, that would be a Shabbat Brach Levatala. So the Ramah writes, now the Ramah writes that as long as it's providing Tosefes Or, even though you already have enough light to see, but it's giving you more light, so the more light, the better. So the Ramah writes that would be okay. You can make a bracha on Tosefes Or. So some poskim said, but Metam Ramum, you can make bracha on Tosefes Or, but there's a little bit of episode. Some kind of reality here. When you have a 500 watt fancy schmancy chandelier, and now you have two by nothing candles in the corner, so there's very, very little recognizable Tosefes Or, so that's a problem. So others will make one. That others said that Tosefes Or can be measured in terms of the spiritual, the radiance of Shabbos. You walk into a house, and all there is a chandelier, and you sit down the Shabbos, but there's something missing. Look at the beautiful candles. Even though the candles are not helping you do anything you couldn't do with the chandelier, but they are adding a little bit of a spiritual glow, and maybe that's also considered to be Tosefes Or. That was a big question in the poskim. So a good idea to avoid the shayla would be as follows, that before one benches lech, before one lights the candles, one simply turns off the electric light and then turns it back on again. So if you turn it back on again and then you light the candles, so the bracha is going on everything. So it could be that the ikar halacha is really the turning on the chandelier. So it's a good idea. Whenever you bench lech under normal circumstances, it's always a good idea to also turn on the electric light, l'shem in the midst of halachas neiros. If you really truly believe that you have to do this, chayt v'lo yavar, because you're really not yet with little candles, then you're going to run into a big pickle on two nights of Yom-tif. So you can ask me. Yom-tif goes to Shabbos, Shabbos goes to Yom-tif, speaking to Yom-tif, Yom-tif Sheni, Rosh Hashanah, you can have a big, big problem. So if you really honestly, truly believe that you're not really Yetzir when the electric lights are on, then you can't light candles on second night, you have to finish. You just can't. You're not Yetzir. It would be a Brach Matala, it would be a Ner Shabbatala, you wouldn't be Yetzir, it would be Shaila of Malach on Yom Tov. But if you hold that in the Ika Mikra, then you probably are Yetzir with the little candles, even in the presence of a lot of light. It's also a shtickle spiritual to Sephas. Or, like, yes, it's Ace, we try to put on an electric light whenever we can, but we can't. You can't. So, well, I'll be
yes, sir. But if the ikur is the electric light, so then if you light it, then you're still able to say the Birkas Mitzvah after?
Yeah, well, yes, yeah, so, well, it depends. So we're going to talk about that in a moment. The Ashkenaz have a custom, we always make the bracha afterwards. So So you turn on the electric lights and you light the candles, then you make the bracha on the Hakobika Kol, that'll be okay. There is a big machlekes nirishonim about whether the mitzvah of Hadlokas Neiros is connected at all to the notion of Kabbalah Shabbos. So some rishonim have the opinion that when you light candles, there's like a built-in Kabbalah Shabbos. That's like understood that is the official formal bringing the Shabbos into the household. That was the view of the Baal Halachas Gedolos. That's why the Baal Halachas Gedolos was of the opinion that when you light Shabbos candles on Shabbos Chanukah, so you have to be very, very careful. You have to first light the Chanukah candles, and then you light the Shabbos candles. Because if you light the Shabbos candles first, then the game's over, then you can no longer light the Chanukah candles. So it's interesting because even though it's a different person lighting the Chanukah candles, most homes, so the wife lights the Shabbos candles, and the husband lights the Chanukah candles. So the Baal Halachas goes, that's still a problem. You know, that the husbands and wives are one team. So once she does the Halachas Neiros Shabbos, the game is over for all the B'nai Abayis. So, we don't even really pask it that way, but we have a minute that we follow this Baal Halachas Gedolos and Shabbos Chanukah. For some reason, the other 51 weeks of the year, so we're not so nervous about the wife lighting candles and the husband drives the shul. That somehow doesn't bother us. But the one punk of Shabbos Chanukah, so then we follow the view of the Baal Halachas Gedolos. We insist the husband lights Chanukah candles first and then the wife lights the Shabbos candles. But the Ramban in Masechta Shabbos argues with the whole Baal Halachas Gedolos, the whole thing is a Hoyot V'Amiyam. He says, why is lighting candles any more of a Kabbalah Shabbos than vacuuming the carpet? Why is it more Kabbalah Shabbos than putting up the shul and the crack? It's a hachon of a Shabbos. It's not a Kabbalah Shabbos. The Rabban holds you allowed to do malach afterwards. There's no big deal. You light the candle, make the bracha, light the candles, and then take a shower, and there's no problem. So how do we pass in halacha this machlokes? So the Ramah writes that our minig is that when women light candles, there's almost like a built-in Kabbalah Shabbos, unless we know to the contrary. If a woman makes a tzaddik, she'll formally declare, or at least she'll have in mind, that she's not Mekabel Shabbos, okay, so then she has the right not to Mekabel Shabbos. But unless we know that she had that in mind, so then we're going to assume that there was kind of like a built-in Kabbalah Shabbos. That's what our practice is. Then the Pesach can point out that one shouldn't really rely on a Tanai unless it's really, really stuck. Because there are many Rishonim, including the Baal Halachas, those who hold there's no such thing as a Tanai. It's a formal, official Kabbalah Shabbos, whether you like it or not. So since not everyone agrees to this idea of a Tanai, so we try to reserve a Tanai for very, very unique situations. Very often on Yom Kippur, so the women want to come to shul, so the woman who's a long, long walk from the shul, this is hard for her to walk so far. So if a woman has trouble walking, so then what do we make? We'll let her light the candles at home, and have it by not be Mekabel Yom Kippur, and then she can drive to shul. Just Derech Agav, the Pesach can point out that if a woman does that on Erev Yom Kippur, then she has to be careful not to say Shechiyonu when she benches Lach. Because the Gemara seems to say at Erevin at the end of the third parak, once you say Shechiyonu, then the game's over. Then you can't make any Torah, you can't make any Yetzim in a Klal, you can't make any conditions. The Gemara says in Erevin that Chazal would have wanted to institute the Shechiyonu on Yom Kippur night ala kos. The Chachiri should always say Shechiyonu ala kos. The Gemara says it's just impossible to do so. Because if we're going to make it ala kos, then how are you going to drink the kos? Once you say Shechiyonu, it's already Yom Kippur. So it was a whole pupil, give it to a kid, now it's a Be'er Chinuch, a whole Chagad in the end of the third parak of Erevin. The Rishonim have a kasha, why don't you just make Shechiyonu ala kos, have it by, I'm not Mekabel Yom Kippur, then drink it. So you see, from here, how can you say Shechiyonu v'kivan lazman hazeh? No, just kidding, it's not really Yom Kippur. So there are certain things that you can't make it to that. I got to hear Daven Ma'ariv. You got Daven Ma'ariv on Friday night, and say Bechulu and Ma'ariv, Mekabel Shabbos, and he's going to have one, I'm not Mekabel Shabbos, he's going to go and drive. Yeah, certain things are obvious you can't make it tonight. What the statements? Maybe you can argue, maybe yeah, maybe no. But certain things are impossible to make it tonight on. So if a woman is benching lecht early in Yom Kippur, that she's getting to a car to drive, she should have in mind not to be makabel yom yet, but she should not make shechiyanu. She should say shechiyanu in shul when the chazan says shechiyanu. A lot of women are not aware of this. A lot of women say shechiyanu twice in Yom Kippur. A lot of women, they think that because it says in the machzer that congregation recites shechiyanu here. I think in the article it probably says Shechiyonu, unless you said it during lech benching. So it's one Shechiyonu per person on Yom Kippur. Anyway, getting back to the story. So there was Machlekes Rishayim to whether Halachas Neiros is a Kabbalah or not. So the Ramah writes that our minig is that we do treat it as a Kabbalah, unless we know with absolute certainty the contrary in the Shasach Chak situation. But normally we do consider it to be a Kabbalah. And that's the reason why we have the following minute. And based on the regular rules of Luchas Bracha, it's called Mitzvah Mevarach Lemov Vasiyasan, we should really recite the Bracha before you bench Lach. But since you're going to recite the bracha, so the recitation of the bracha is really l'chadik neshal Shabbos, that does the Kabbalah, so then it's going to be hard for you to turn around and light the candles. So therefore, the Ashkenazim have a practice that they light first, and then they recite the bracha, and then they recite the bracha, that's the Kabbalah's Kedushas HaShabbos. Because the women were concerned about this, that it's a little bit of a funny minute, that we don't really even hold, like those who show them will say it's a real Kabbalah. We follow the Ramban, it's not even really a Kabbalah. So we have this strange minute that we're treating Halakas Davis as a Kabbalah Shabbos, and we're playing around with the Nuscha Bracha, we're playing around with the Tommy the Bracha because of this. So the women were worried about this. So there was a minute that developed that even though we're going to be forced, in a sense, to do the mitzvah first and recite the Bracha afterwards, we're going to do the mitzvah in a way, in a manner that the mitzvah is not really complete yet. So it'll be still a little bit, a mash will be a little bit, a shtickle of Avalasi Yosef. How do you do that? So since we mentioned before that the mitzvah of Lachas Neir Shabbos, it's not just a maisat locha. The idea is to be nen and to be oinig. Let's say a guy likes candles and they go out and they come back 10 hours later, so they didn't see the candles at all. So they weren't really, I'd say you have to hang around with the candles. So since, you should always be careful, you should stay with the candles out of safety, it's a whole different concern. But if you light candles and you're not nenef in the candles, so that's a chisor in the mitzvah. So therefore the Ramah writes that the custom is that you light the candles, then you close your eyes right away. So you don't look at the candles, you don't want to be nenef in the candles. And you make the bracha, and if you make the bracha, then you open up your eyes. Baruch Hu, here I am. Now I can see, kishmak, now I'm nenef from the neighbors. So that minig that's quoted in the Ramah that all the women do today, that minig is because we're in this little bit of a dilemma. And on the one hand, we don't want to make the bracha before we light. On the other hand, we don't want to run into an avalasiyasa problem. So this minig developed in order to solve the problem. It's kain. The similar minig developed in Ashkenazi communities when it comes to tefillah b'mikvah. The Ashkenazim have a practice that the woman recites the bracha after she's tevelas because of a tactile concern. Because tefillah is geir, is afterwards, whatever. There's a whole shul Torah. So we recite the bracha after the tefillah. But since they feel bad, that's not part of Avos Yosod, so the minute became that they go a second time afterwards. So that's the Seder HaDvarah by Ashkenazi women, is that they tevel first, and then they come out of the mikvah, they cover themselves, then they recite a bracha, and then they tevel a second time to make it a shtickle of Avos Yosod. So the problem is, the post can point out, that's the chur, it doesn't do anything. By Halachas Neiris, so the fact to keep their eyes closed, that accomplishes something, so they're not netted from the Neiris, so the mitzvah is not really completed. When it comes to tevilah b'vikvah, once you're tovel, you're tahorah. The second tefillah is the malvah. is going swimming. So what does the second tefillah do? How in the world does that make it over Lassi Yassan? So it's a big, big pellet. So a person can have this eitzah that she should have in mind, that if you should recite the bracha first, so she doesn't want the first tefillah should be chal. So first of all, Rabbi Post can say, you have in mind not to be chal. Tefillah doesn't make any sense. But mitzvah, you can have not in mind to be chal. The Gemara says, if a woman gets pushed into the water and she's screaming, I don't want to be tavelas, boom, she's still tahorah. So you don't need kavana. Yeah. You need kavana to be yetzer mitzvah. You don't need kavana for the chalos tahara to happen, the pashtus. So the whole idea by tefillah b'mikvah is a little bit of a shaky practice that we have. But by halachas neiros, so already the Ramah sanctioned this practice of you first light the candles, then you recite the bracha, then you open up your eyes. The Sfarim don't do this. Most of the Sfarim don't do this. They just make a bracha first. This minhag of making a bracha after the hadlacha only makes sense when the hadlacha is going to be a kabbalah. So let's say if a man's lighting candles, so let's say the wife's away, so the husband's lighting candles. So the chor for the husband, it doesn't really make any sense to do it this way. Let him make the bracha first and then light the candles afterwards, like any other mitzvah of Avos Yosef. So this was a big machlokes aposkim between the wife of the sma and it's quoted by the Sma's son and the Magen Avraham. So there's some poskim will quote in the name of the Sma's wife, who had a chah, that when you light candles and Yom Tov, so you should make the bracha first and don't light the candles afterwards, because the whole reason to flip the order on Shabbos was because of you makabel Shabbos, you can't light the candles, but on Yom Tov you're allowed to light candles, as long as it's, you're not striking the match, you're allowed to light from a pre-existing flame. So when it comes to Yom Tov candles, why should you play around with the order of Avos Yosef? Do it right, make the bracha first, do this fardim, make the bracha first, and then light on Yom Tov. So they called such a cheshbon from the Sma's wife. So the Magen Avraham didn't think it was right. The Magen Avraham said, as a little plug, we don't play around with the order. Once the order was instituted this way, so the havlik in there, you always do it as a little plug. So the Yehuda asked the kash against the Magen Avraham, if it's true that there was a little plug in the order of the havlik, my neighbor's chanukah, we should also flip it around. I'm not sure that's, I'm sure the Magen Avraham would respond and say, there's a low plug from the Hadik Neshel Shabbos and the Hadik Neshel Yom, that's the same basic mitzvah. Neshel Chadik is a very different mitzvah. So whatever it is, there are yesh v'yesh. There are some women who have the practice when they light Yom Tov candles, so they do like the Sma'a's wife, and they recite the bracha first and then they light, and probably most people, my wife included, who does it the standard way, that even by Yom Tov candles, it's a low plug. It's too confusing. It's not messing people up, mixing people up.
Once you light, though, aren't you like obviously going to be seeing it because you're going to have to look to actually light? No,
so you're not geschmack, you're not enjoying it. No. You light with your eyes closed, you'll end up starting to burn the house down. Yeah. So, no. There's kefil. Okay, sure. All right, so how many more weeks do we have? Anyone have any idea?
Two more weeks.
Okay, all right, so maybe we'll try to finish this up in a week or two.